the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. The story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all.
They couldn't score and fell flat, and the 40 shots on goal is a little deceiving. Yeah. And even though they had some really good opportunities, surprisingly, they need to play with that intensity. If those last 3-4 minutes, the Rangers sometimes don't play at their best level against lower-tier teams.
Here's Johnny!
Nope, this is Ranger Proud, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, here on the Bleed Blue Show.
Yeah, here we are, man, the Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, flipping it to a Monday. You got to do a scheduling, readjustments, a lot of things to discuss because of sports. From the football side, you can't wait to hear what the guy got to say on Thursday on what happened with 26 going down to South Philadelphia. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, we're moving that up from 9 p.m. to 8 p.m. this Wednesday. And, of course, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud up an hour and some change right before the Devils game. And also, we got to talk about the moves at the trade deadline. Without further ado, we got to get everybody on to discuss this. Scott, say a quick hello. I'm coming right back to you. Same with Carl. Scott, what's up, bro? How you doing, man?
I just want to start with a moment of silence for Saquon Barkley because he is dead to me.
That's not his fault. Okay? I'll put it like this. Right behind you. He's an avid, one of the best analysts that just sports fans in general. He'll tell you that it ain't Barkley's fault that he's down in Philadelphia. It's the fact that they chose number 8 over number 26, and nobody saw these repercussions coming. But that's going to be the football episode on Thursday with Chris and the gang, Chris, Jason, Carl, and everybody. Carl, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen. In life, you always go for where there is 1 cent more than you are getting paid currently. Those are the house rules.
Exactly. So, Scott, let's go right to you, man. Good win by the Blue Shirts over the Blues. You saw Lindbergh in his debut. I think Devils made a lot of moves, but I think Carolina made some good moves. But we could talk about our moves first, and if you want to sprinkle into the rest of the NHL, the trade deadline. I mean, it was a whole – like Friday, I just couldn't keep up with it, man. I had to just come back and reset and watch. But, Scott, your thoughts on the trade deadline, because all the activity, a lot of it happened after our episode last week. Your thoughts, what we did, and what the rest of the teams did. We'll go to Carl and get his thoughts.
I love our moves. I really do. Now, admittedly, I did not when they first came out. I made kind of a sarcastic post about it, but I'm a big fan of our moves. I mean, you know, Wenberg solves the third line center problem, thank you. I mean, look, we went all in on a superstar right wingers last year, you know, didn't work out too well. We didn't need a superstar right winger for that first line. We just needed a vast upgrade from Kako, and we got it. And I think I already noticed in that first game, you know, how much better and more energy that line was playing with. And I didn't necessarily – I wouldn't have been upset if Kako was traded. You know, I made that very clear, you know, provided we didn't, you know, mortgage the future. I know that they were talking about deals that Drury turned down that included a first-round pick on top of him, and that I'm happy he didn't take that. So that being said, you know, I just wanted him off the first line. And, you know, so we've now – I think that first line is now complete. I like that. I like him there. And now with Kako still on the roster, now all of a sudden he goes from, you know, a very underachieving first liner to one of the better third liners now. I think, you know, that'll be a good fit for him. And that line was making things happen too already with him and Cooley and Wenberg. So I think we shored up, you know, the first and the third lines. I'm very satisfied with what we did. Obviously, you know, finances were a hindrance, you know, as far as getting, you know, a big money guy. And I think Drury did the best he could with what he had to work with, and I'm okay with it. Carolina, you know, obviously is going all in. As are a couple other teams. You know, Vegas had some big moves to overcome their injuries. They were, you know, in free fall there. So, yeah, a lot of teams made bigger splashes than we did, but we always make the big splash. And, you know, what do we got to show for it? Nothing. So I'm okay with the little splash. I think we shored up those problems. Third line center, first line right wing. We vastly improved on those holes that we had. And don't forget, we even with those problems, we've been a first place team all year. So I'm happy with that. And I think that we are just as much of a contender as anyone else down the stretch. So I'm good with that.
I wholeheartedly agree. Let's go to Carl, get his thoughts, and I'll chime in on that. And then we'll get the rest of it. So, you didn't even get to the – well, we'll come back around and get to the rest of it. Go ahead, Carl, your thoughts.
You know, I thought the moves were fine relative to the cost acquisition price that was out there. You know, the way that the trade deadline played itself out over the last couple of weeks, there was not the – you know, one shiny object that was hanging around that dangling.
Well, Carl, you're not going to pay $24 for a Five Guys burger and fries and a small Coke? You're making price acquisition.
Only if I have a voucher to use. And unfortunately, the Rangers did not have any vouchers to cash in that were expiring on the trade deadline Friday. So that was not going to be something they could pull off. So if you look at, you know, just the players that were out there relative to the cost, you kind of had to kind of get in where you can get in. And I think it was a Tuesday, suddenly there's Tuesday or Wednesday, things started, you know, coming out of nowhere about, you know, Jake Gensel being available. And I said, wait a second. I said, the Pittsburgh Penguins really going to trade him to the Rangers? I have a hard time believing that. I don't give a damn what the price is. Like something just, I just didn't believe that, any of those rumors. There, you know, up until Friday when he was finally traded to Carolina, it was like, oh, the Rangers are still on it, the Rangers are still on it. I said, no, that's not going to happen. So from that standpoint, you just kind of had to piecemeal the situation. I was hoping that they could have improved the defense a little bit more. You know, it only came about after the trade deadline that Trouba was going to miss those 2 to 3 weeks, so you would probably wanted to have, you know, an additional defenseman, though, as the way it played out. There was the amount of quality defensemen out there was not really all that great. I know Hanifin went and he got traded, but, you know, he may not have been a good fit, you know, on the Rangers regardless. So from that standpoint, you just take a look and say, okay, you know, Roslovic, I was looking at some of his sort of underlying numbers just to see, you know, perhaps he can be what Vetrano was 2 years ago. You know, when he was acquired, no one was expecting much out of him, and all of a sudden he was much better than everybody thought. You know, Roslovic has – during the games, and I would look back at the exact, you know, stuff that I was looking at on Friday, but, you know, he has a chance to greatly overperform what the Rangers gave up for him. So from that, I will take that. Wennberg, which we talked about last Tuesday before the trade actually happened, that was rumored, and it turned out to be exactly what happened. So now the Rangers have a much more the roster is balanced. What that means for guys like, you know, the guys on the fourth line, whether it be, you know Rempe, we've, you know, probably talk about him later on. You know, maybe there's still an opening for him, as we saw on Saturday when he's just playing. He continues to just play well. So perhaps as time goes along here, you know, it's more of a mix and match time, even though the Rangers are trying to win games. But now you want to see, okay, what is my best 12? What is my best 6? And then let's, you know, go from there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you guys, man. I mean, based on the situation with the cap, availability and fit, it makes sense of what they did, and I'm glad Drury has kind of shown to put his, you know, thinking cap is making these moves. But actually, my question also for you guys when you come back around, if you can fill me in as far as what the Rangers want to be, because I heard what you just said, Carl, as far as being more, you know, getting better defense. But my whole thing is exactly what they want to be going into the playoffs. And I don't know exactly the answer. If you guys want to fill me in, that's why I ask it rhetorically like that. If you can answer that, I'll remind you, Scott, when you go back to speak. But as far as the rest of the NHL, I mean, it was just the stock market trade floor on Thursday and Friday, especially Friday. So, of course, it's a fun day. You see guys moving around, players that you're familiar with, age, you know, older veterans moving to rivalry locations. As far as the Blue Shirts perspective, yeah, I mean, we're just going to have to play our game, but I'll ask it again as far as defensively what we want to be going into the playoffs. But, yeah, as far as the game versus the St. Louis Blues, you know, it was a very good confidence win, especially for the goaltender, Igor Shestorkin, and as well as, you know, the way to build on and add on to leads. Scott, I want to go back to you. Can you answer that question, if you don't mind? Defensively, what do you think the Rangers want to be with the acquisitions of Wimberg and Rossovich? And then on top of that, your thoughts on the rest of the NHL, other teams you saw, like, man, you know, Jake Guentzel going to the Carolina Hurricanes, the Vegas Golden Knights getting stronger. What are your thoughts on all the other teams? I mean, there's so many to discuss. I mean, we don't really have that much time, but we'll cover it. What's your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, I think Carolina definitely stands out as it's hard to say, like, the winner. I don't know if you're going to say the winner, but they definitely went all in. And I know that they gave up three or four prospects and whatnot. I don't know anything about those prospects, so I don't know how seriously that affects their future. But, you know, Carolina's been knocking on the door for 5 years now, and they're starting to come up on pre-2019 Tampa or pre-97 Detroit status of, when are they going to, finally get over the hump and win it all. And obviously they're going all in this year. I know they got Anderson back, their goalie. So, Carolina, I think, I stand by my assertion that we did at the beginning of the season that that Carolina is the team to beat and my favorite to win the cup. Now, again, I also stand by what I just said, that I think we're just as good as any of them. I think, 2 years ago when we played them, we didn't really think going in that that we were better than them. But, well, whether or not we were better than them or not is a moot point. We did beat them. So, yeah, I think them and Vegas definitely stand out as probably, I guess you could say, my winners of the deadline day. I know the Devils fans are absolutely furious. And I was trying to be objective with them. I know that they really like Toffoli, and I think he was, their second leading goal scorer, maybe first, or what. And they're furious that they kind of did nothing there. But they had to. I mean, they dealt their two terrible goalies for two slightly less terrible goalies, and I know that they're probably going to go all in on Markstrom over the summer. But they pretty much threw in the towel on their season. And again, trying to speak objectively, I know you don't want to mortgage your future. They obviously have drafted and developed very, very well to get where they are now. And although they are taking a massive step back from last year, the window is still just opening for them. And, Devils fans are not happy that they didn't really make a big splash, but they did the right thing. Their GM Fitzgerald did the right thing and knew that, if he traded a big piece. I know that that Mercer, Dawson Mercer, was a name thrown around as something they would have to part with if they wanted a Markstrom or one of the better goalies. And they didn't want to do that, and I don't blame them for doing that. You don't want to mortgage, a big piece of your core or your future for a chance to sneak into a wild card. There's nothing they could have done at the deadline that would have made them a solid Stanley Cup contender this year. So I think they did the right thing by standing put. The Islanders, on the other hand, who knows what's going on with them? They've won five in a row to get themselves back into the race here, but I don't see them as a legitimate threat, and they did nothing to shore up their team. I don't know what they're thinking by keeping Lamoriello around. This is certainly not the same Lamoriello that built the Devils and, ran the Devils to three cups and five finals in his tenure. So, I think they should have definitely made some moves. I guess that would be my big winners there would be Carolina and Vegas. Did Detroit add someone? I don't remember. There was another team that I'm missing here that took one of those big names off the board. I just, kind of been focusing on us and Carolina because those are, that's the immediate threat there. That's what I got.
Before we move on, you didn't mention the big winner. I mean, it has nothing to do with the hockey, but you didn't really mention how your football club, the Montreal, took down the almighty Inter Miami. Man, I thought you would have led with that, man. So I had to remind you. Man. It's like,
you know, You know where my soccer, my soccer interests are minimal at best. It's growing. And don't forget, before I started hanging out with Patrick and going up there, I had zero interest in soccer and whatnot. So it's growing. I'm just getting started there. And I know the season just started, but it's a little too early for me to pay attention. So I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. And I will certainly look into that.
They said the same thing about those Maryland Terrapins when they had Steve Francis and Terrace Morris. Hey, they said the same thing.
I was there for that year. The Steve Francis year in 98, I was actually still in college. I actually saw Steve Francis play in a Maryland Terrapins uniform the 1 year he was there. So, yes, my interest in Terps basketball has only waned in the last, 5-6 years since Gary Williams retired, because the program is just bottomed out. People under the age of 40 don't even realize that Maryland used to be a top 10 ranked powerhouse for 15 straight years. They're not even associated with a good program anymore. But I was up on my knowledge and edge of my seat for a good 20-25 straight years there. Soccer, I'm just getting started. It's a work in progress.
Yeah, it's all about getting started, man. We talked about that with the Apple TV. Everybody's getting started with the soccer. But call your thoughts. If you want to sprinkle in some soccer thoughts, feel free. But also, I got to get on. Scott's Montreal team looks good, man. I got to say that. But Scott, Carl, the rest of the NHL, your thoughts on the rest of the trades, who impressed you, and anything else you'd like to add? And then after that, we'll get some final thoughts, man. We got a hockey game to watch.
I'll have to hold off on the soccer talk for right now. I'm currently in college basketball small tournament mode right now, so I've been keeping up with that.
What do you
like? Women's game.
What do you like? Because you're a data guy. What do you like? I gotta hear this.
UConn's been my favorite since December. I've not seen anything to adjust off of that. On the women's side, South Carolina is going to be the favorite, but they are still a very young team, and I think there is a very good chance they can still get knocked off before the Final Four. Maybe in the Elite Eight game, the first three games will probably be pretty easy. But this team is not as good as the team that lost last year, which is crazy if you think about it, even though they're undefeated right now and played that tremendous LSU team yesterday. So that I'm curious to see how it's going to play out, but the women's game right now is on fire, absolute fire right now in terms of – put it this way, it is much more intriguing than the men's tournament will be next week. I will say that.
I'll say this, and I'll let you go ahead and rock with the rest of the NHL. Number one, on the women's basketball, there's good polarity on that. And number two, as far as the basketball show, I know when – the great coach Chris hears this playback and we get on basketball, he's going to hate the fact that you said that about UConn. I got to deal with that Bane guy. Oh, shit. He's not going to like it. But, hey, it is what it is. Let's just hope, man.
Well,
let's just hope.
Let's put it this way. I do not believe UConn will win the Big East tournament. I will say that.
Not that they're not good.
Yeah,
we want the Big East. Yeah, we get it. It's like, we want the big shit. Let's see. Rest of the NHL, man. Your thoughts of the team and the moves. Go ahead.
So, if we had more time, I would love to get into this. But we talked about this last year with the LTIR situation and teams using that to open up cap space to acquire players during the season. Now the Rangers, for whatever reason, have yet to attempt this, but the Vegas Golden Knights, for the second year in a row, have decided to, or not decided, but they have utilized this strategy, much like the Blackhawks did with Patrick Kane, much like Tampa Bay did with Nikita Kucherov. And this year, unlike last year when they had Mark Stone go on the injury report for about 6 weeks and then came back almost instantly for the game one of the playoffs and did not miss a game. This time, they put three players on injured reserve. Him, Robin Lehner, and one other player. Oh, William Carrier. They opened up $16 million in cap space to be able to make the trades that they made at the trade deadline. Now, mind you, there is no salary cap in the postseason. So they are going to be able to carry these players over the rest of the way. And then when there's no cap in the postseason, bring all of the injured players back into the lineup and as if nothing ever happened. Now, whether you think that's skirting the rules or not, hey, that's up for debate. But it's a loophole in the system. If you can manipulate it, go ahead. I guess some teams are trying to be, ooh, I know it's a rule, but I don't want to take advantage of this. I kind of brought this up a couple, thinking that the Rangers would try this with Filip Hedl. I don't know what his exact return is going to be right now. Maybe Scott or Steve, maybe you guys know. I'm going to go under the assumption he's probably not playing another game this season. But that is something that was in my head as a way to open up cap space. But unfortunately, maybe they could have done that with Trouba as well to kind of hold them out the rest of the season. But that would be, you know, they're taking advantage of this. And if it works again, I don't know if the league's going to look to try to adjust the rules on this. Clearly, there's no appetite to change them over the last 9 years. But one team is taking advantage of this, and if it works again, you just have to wonder. And so that's kind of my thought on the whole trade deadline.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to sit back and watch, guys. This is the hardest sport to really, really predict. Hockey, teams get hot. Is there a team right now, Scott, that had a Florida Panthers run right now that you see? Because that's kind of where we are. This is the time of the year that this thing's happening. You know what I'm saying? Is there a team in the West or the East that you see some like a Florida Panthers type of run that's going to happen after this point in the NHL calendar year after the trade deadline, Scott?
Yeah, I would say Carolina. You know, we had that. It's pretty much started already. I mean, I know they don't have that consecutive double digit win streak yet.
Hold on, can I make a disclaimer? I'm talking about a team that's probably more 5-8.
Oh, like last year's Florida. You mean like last year's Florida, like under the radar, out of nowhere?
Correct. Yeah, I would love to hear Carl.
I mean, I would love it to be Calgary, but I don't see that happening.
Don't make me play the soundbite, what you said about the Calgary Flames. I'll find it right now.
What, you lost that trade?
Yeah. There you go.
So what am I getting in Sharon Govich in this trade? My exact answer was you lost that trade. Like, you're not getting anything.
You run that back, Scott. You can't take that.
He did score a goal the other night. Last night, I believe. They beat it. I don't remember. I just remember seeing his name in the box score.
He said, "Oh yeah, he's just like no." But who is that team? You haven't, you don't have that team or not for the East or the West?
Kind of caught me off guard there. Let's see, a dark horse sleeper.
This is easy. This is easy. Come on, now, this is easy.
Uh-oh.
You know what? I'm stumped. I will defer to Carl.
All right, Carl, go ahead. Who you got?
The Vegas Golden Knights, they currently are the second wild card in the Western Conference right now. Like, they are just, I mean, they're 6 points ahead of Minnesota. That was a crazy game yesterday, if you guys saw that. But they're going to make it basically just kind of getting, you know, they're essentially the eighth seed in the Western Conference, which means that as it stands right now, they're going to face either Dallas or Vancouver in the first round of the playoffs, unless they get hot and, you know, overtake Nashville. Well, actually, yeah. No, they're tied with the LA Kings right now for third place, even in their own division. But let's just hypothetically say that they get, you know, a wild card spot. Is anybody going to be that crazy enough to bet against them in the first round of these playoffs against one of these, number one seeded teams in both divisions?
I may – that's a good bet. That's a tough bet. I would – if they were to meet the Dallas Stars, that's got to go seven games. That's a good series. Because they're not a true number eight seed because of their circumstances. So,
right.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
That's the thing. Like, they – because of the fact they've had the injuries and they've won the cup last year – and they're just they're just kind of on the periphery. Like, there's not a team in the Eastern Conference. Like, for instance, it would be very stunning to me if Tampa Bay or the Islanders. Those are the two teams that have the wild card, and Detroit's just, you know, tied with the Islanders right now. It'd be very difficult for me to believe that any one of those three teams could make a run at a conference final. But if you ask me, do I think Vegas could make a run at a conference final, I would say absolutely.
All right, cool, cool. Let's get final thoughts, man. I know it's a short episode. I had to do a rearrangement, some obligations I had to handle, but we'll definitely make it up in the future, especially after the break in April. We'll be back next Monday anyway, but Scott, final a full hour on top of that next Monday. Final thoughts, Scott, as we get ready for the Devil game, and then we can continue the conversation in the groups and all as well as the social media. Scott, final thoughts real quick, and then do you agree with Vegas' thoughts on what Carl said and anything else you'd like to say, and then give us like a minute, and then same thing from Carl.
Did you say next week is Monday as well?
That would be correct, because okay. That will be the last episode before the break. So meaning next week will be the last week of episodes before we pick it up back in April.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, Monday. Gotcha. I'll put that on my calendar. Final thoughts. Well, I look forward to – the good news is Fox is playing. I know that he was questionable for an illness, quote-unquote. You know, the tight-lipped they are about everything. But apparently he was on the ice for pregame, so that's good news. We just got to make do without Trouba, but it is what it is. And I would like to – I think a regulation win today pretty much ends the Devil season, realistically speaking. They're in a bit of a tailspin, and like we said, they got rid of one of their most prolific scorers of the year. It didn't really help their goaltending situation, but final thoughts. The good news is my best player on the team, Matt Rampe jersey, has finally shipped. It was in Hong Kong this morning. I'm going to the Rangers-Islanders game on St. Paddy's Day. I was hoping to have it by then, but I don't think I will. But I'm very excited to get that. And I don't know if I mentioned, I actually broke down and got one of the stadium jerseys. They did grow on me a little bit. They're not as hideous as first glance. Pretty excited about that. And yeah, there, I know that there were rumors that he might've been sent down for salary reasons and whatnot. I'm very glad they kept him. Kind of sucks that he missed out on that goal the other night, but I love what he brings to the team just all around. So there's that. And just for the record, final thought. It's not Saquon leaving the Giants that upset me. It's going to the Eagles. He could have signed with 20 teams for that money. He picked the Eagles. I know you don't want to talk about it, but that's what I got. I'm done.
Wait till you hear Thursday's episode. I know Chris is going to go bananas about that. And Jason and Carl probably be on that show as well. The call you're listening to right now, Scott, you should call in, Scott. I'm going to just tell you right now, Scott, it ain't Saquon's fault. That is – the whole situation is not Saquon's fault. That is a whole front office fuckery. For Thursday, they're probably going to be on for an hour and a half discussing it. Because we knew there were going to be repercussions. There's nothing like this. This is monumental. And I know Chris – I told Chris, pick a bridge. Betsy Ross, Walt Whitman, or Ben Franklin, pick a bridge and jump off of it when you do the episode. Carl, final thoughts.
Yeah, as we get ready, you know, five games coming up here between now and Sunday. You know, we went from three games in 10 days to, you know, just sort of a good sprint here tonight, tomorrow, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we've got a lot of good action here. You know, one thing as we take a look at these final, you know, 15 to 18 games. I mean, let's just miss like the last like two, three games of the season, unless it's really worth something. What we want to try to get to now with the team is to have a situation where the team is not overly dependent on any one particular line. I know sometimes folks like to delineate between first line, second line, and third line. I'd like to have a lot of those lines just sort of working in unison together where they're all getting balanced, you know, because when the postseason comes, at least one of those lines is going to get shut down. So you want to be in a situation where you're getting balanced scoring, much like you saw Vegas in the postseason last year. So just, you know, with the guys that they have, just continue to just sort of press along here and, you know, try to, you know, build up the points, the big ones tomorrow night in Carolina, try to get some separation. You know, look, I think there are, 2 points now up in the standings. We're trying to get that 10-point cushion. That's probably not going to happen anymore. So, you know, it's going to be sort of a nip-and-tuck race the rest of the way here.
Yeah, shout-outs to you, Carl. Shout-outs to you, Scott. I got two final thoughts, rest of the NHL. I'm telling you, man, Philadelphia's done, man. I told you when March hits, they're just going to fade back into the standings. It's going to go according to the plan. But what I did not predict is the antics of John Tortorella showing his ugly face right now in Philadelphia. So it's going to be done deal. And the Islanders will leapfrog the Flyers by the end of the episode. And then also the Florida Panthers, there's a different animal, different vibe with this version of what could be a President's Trophy recipient versus the year a couple of years ago when they won the chair. They're more of a complete team. This is a complete hockey team. If they were to play, let's say, against the Vegas Golden Knights this time around, I definitely would pick, circumstantially wise, the Florida Panthers over the Vegas Golden Knights if they were both to make the finals. Not to say they would, but just saying that's how better of a roster they have become under Paul Maurice. Scott, Carl, shout out to you guys. We'll be back next Monday. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Man, what a day in sports and college basketball, and soccer's just getting underway, and of course the free agency with football. And yo, we'll be back to talk about the hockey and focus on that next Monday. It'll be your last episode for the end of the first quarter. Shout out to Carl and Scott. See you guys on Twitter, IG, and the book. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.